WHHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump and his health department link autism to acetaminophen.
So taking Tylenol is not good. All right, I'll say it. It's not good.
The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists says today's announcement is not backed by the full body of scientific evidence. A week after he commented on the death of Charlie Kirk, Disney announces the Jimmy Kimmel Live show will return to ABC's air tomorrow night. Syracuse University media professor Robert Thompson.
Folks at ABC and Disney were getting a lot of pressure from everybody, from unions to celebrities, and these big petitions.
France, during the UN General Assembly meeting, says it supports a two-state solution in the Middle East. CBS News national security contributor Samantha Vinogrand.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio actually warned that Israel itself could engage in a counter-reaction to this momentum behind recognizing a state of Palestine.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Shali Pittman, filling in for Melissa Kay. Republican state lawmakers say they want to revitalize the forest industry in northern Wisconsin with a new biofuel plant in Hayward. A new bill would provide $60 million in tax credits and $150 million in state bonding to build the facility. The plant would be a partnership between Wisconsin-based Johnson Timber and Syntec Fuels, a German energy company. Senator Mary Falzkowski says the project could create about 150 jobs and generate over $1 billion in annual economic impact. The facility would convert 880,000 tons of wood residue into aviation fuel every year, with at least 80% of that wood coming from Wisconsin forests. Lawmakers say the bill would also improve forest management. They point to a drop in timber harvests since the 2020 closure of the Wisconsin Rapids paper mill. The bill was announced on Monday. If approved, production could begin in 2029. And today is the first day of fall. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more.
Today the seasons officially shift. It's called the autumnal equinox. Right now the earth is perfectly tilted to give us equal hours of daylight and darkness. And I'm sure you've noticed it's darker for longer in the morning now, and the sun is setting earlier too. Shorter days happen fast. In just the month of September, we lose almost an hour and a half of daylight, which is exactly why the leaves start to change colors now, too. Trees are sensitive to changes in their environment, and the sunlight triggers the tree to produce chlorophyll. That's how it makes energy and why the leaves are green, a process called photosynthesis. So in summer, we simply have more hours of sun available. Now that's being pulled away. Just like our moods may be falling with less light, foliage does, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Shali Pittman.
Some good news and bad news. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the good news is for a third year in a row, the Brewers headed into the playoffs as divisional champs. The bad news is it'll likely be without starting pitcher Brandon Woodruff, who suffered a lat strain in his upper back.
Obviously, like, it sucks. This is something that is a side effect of the surgery I had, and it's kind of terrible timing in that sense for, you know, the team. You know, the biggest goal for me was to finish the year healthy.
The crew in San Diego tonight against the Padres. College football, the Badgers now 2-2 after losing to Maryland 27-10 over the weekend. Wisconsin has their bye week, followed by a trip to Ann Arbor to face number 19th ranked Michigan. NFL, the Packers stunned, losing 13-10 to the Browns in Cleveland on a last second field goal.
It's extremely disappointing to be in a position to win the game and to have the script totally flip on you. It's tough to deal with.
As head coach Matt LaFleur with sports on Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, otherwise partly cloudy tonight. A low in the upper 50s with patchy fog. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow morning, some sun in the afternoon. A high in the upper 60s. Staying dry through the week as temperatures stay in the 70s. It's 69 degrees right now.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, some seasonal fun in Wisconsin's many pumpkin patches and corn mazes, plus our weekly visit with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Act 2 of Nightlight, this Monday edition, as Nightlight comes to you live from downtown Madison. We are just above State Street at Civic Media headquarters. It is so great to be here. Another shout-out to Aaron Zommers for helping us get set up. Conrad Krieger back in Green Bay, holding down the fort, working the board. Conrad, everything okay?
Yeah, it's going great.
All right. We've got Jim Healy coming up at 7:20. He is one of the programmers at UW Cinematheque, and also one of the big shots at the Wisconsin Film Festival. We're going to talk about both of those things and Robert Redford, maybe some Peter Bogdanovich, all kinds of fun stuff with my film buff fan pal, Jim Healy, who will be here shortly. Right now we've got a few more minutes with our friend Eric Jellin, the frontman for The Mascot Theory, who is here in the studio with me. We just heard a couple songs off their new album, Cosmic Hit and Run. I will get back to Eric in just a moment. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, this is exciting. Civic Media has a new Text to Win contest. It is our multi-state Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Conrad, back me up here.
Yeah.
Our daily prize in this contest, folks, is $200 in cash and gold jewelry. So there's one winner every day. You have to have the app to play. But I assume most of you have the Civic Media app. If you don't, download it, get the app, and text in the keyword on the app. That is the way you qualify for our multi-state Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. And here is the grand prize. So you win $200 or gold and gold jewelry. That's an and, Conrad, not an or. $200 and
correct.
Gold jewelry. That's the daily prize just for texting in the keyword. And then our grand prize, two club-level indoor seats to Green Bay versus Minnesota. I'm talking football here, folks. It's a Green Bay home game, November 23rd of this year at 12 p.m. That's a Sunday. We can say Sunday, right, Conrad?
Yes.
Okay. And you get a gas card to get you to the game. So that doesn't do a guy like Conrad much good because he lives there and he doesn't qualify anyway because he works for us. But it's like a $1,550 value. And you can winners are selected. There's one per day and then one final grand prize winner. And I am going to give you the keyword, folks, right after our first break. When we're done talking to our pal Eric Jellin here, you will have tonight's keyword. Text it in right away. Get yourself eligible because you could come out way ahead on this. Great stuff. Our Civic Media Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. A multi-state Text to Win contest, by the way. So that is all good stuff, and we'll do the keyword shortly. Our question of the night is... it's National Diary Day. I realize most people don't really keep diaries anymore, but our National Diary Day question of the night is, what is the most embarrassing thing someone could read in your diary? We'll read some texts coming up off the text line. Dave on the stream says, the coolest thing I have in a diary is text messages. It documents in real time when you may not remember. Okay, that's good. Is that embarrassing, though, Eric?
Depends on what it is, I guess, yeah. or who sent it.
That is the best thing about texting is I can look back, like my pal Jim is on the show tonight. When is the last time I had him on? I just look at the text thread.
True.
So it is a nice chronicle certain things. All right, Eric Gellin is here. We've got a few more minutes with our pal Eric Gellin, the front man for the Mascot Theory. So you got Mineral Point this month on the 24th. Talk about that show. What a great little town, and it sounds like a fantastic venue.
Yeah, 2 days. We'll be in Mineral Point on the it's on the Orchard Lawn, which is a cool old, used to be the Gundry House, or maybe they still call it that. I'm not sure, but it's an old house, and they have throughout the summer, they've got all these concerts on the porch, they call them. So I think we're the last one now. I think we're going to get lucky. It's like 70s or something maybe tomorrow, I believe, by the time we play.
It's supposed to be nice, like, for the next – you should be fine.
I mean, love it.
Yeah.
Because you never know. It's freezing cold a few weeks ago.
But,
yeah, it's my hometown, so we're really excited to be there. We're going to do an acoustic show. We'll have the full band, but it'll be acoustic.
Oh, fun.
It's going to be a blast.
So, all right, Cosmic Hit and Run, your new album, drops October 3rd.
Yep.
Correct? Okay. Your last album, Every Sign of Life, was produced by kind of a legend, Terry Manning, who produced Zeppelin stuff, and he passed away. But you guys totally self-produced this album without nullifying or cheapening the contributions of a famous producer. What's more fun for you?
I mean, they were both a blast. Going down to Texas and working with Terry was like just Cadillac experience. Just like, this is going to be so amazing. We put a lot of time and effort into rehearsals to make sure that we were as polished as possible when we got to work with Terry, somebody of his pedigree. And we had a blast down there. We were extremely excited about what we came out with the Every Sign of Life album. But also part of us then for the next one. And that was, we had been down, that was 3 years, 4 years ago. So it's been a while. And so now we were looking for this next one. We're like, let's do just something the complete opposite. Let's do our own thing. Get our pal Michael Mood, who came out to our studio to help us work on it in our home studio, and just thought, let's try it. We've got tons of gear. We know what we were looking for. We know we're going to be rehearsed. We had the songs, we had the chops, and what we want to do more with it. You listen to the album; every song is tied together. There's found sounds that we just literally went out and picked up on our phones, and all kinds of things in this album that we never would have been able to do in a full big studio without paying tons and tons of money of time. So being able to work on it on our own was kind of the only way.
So you've got two completed albums now. Is there one you favor, or do you notice the difference in it? I mean, you're not going to make your album worse working with Terry Manning, but I mean, what is the difference? Is there a difference in the finished
product? To me, there's not. Okay. I mean, that's the thing we wanted to make sure is if we did this on our own, it's got to sound as good as our last ones. And we've done 6-7 albums. We've got a lot of albums. So we're like, it has to just kind of keep in that same vein of the quality that we're used to. And with this one, once we got the recording done, once we got it to our pal Michael to do the mixing, and then we actually had it mastered by a mystery room mastering, we just knew it was something that was equal to the other in terms of quality.
You talk about Pink Floyd. Your album covers, I realize. Is there some Floyd influence there?
Yeah.
It's cool.
I love Pink Floyd albums. I think that was Hypnosis. Storm Thurman, I believe his name was, the guy who designed a lot of their album covers. Okay. I love them. I love it.
And do you design yours? Because you have graphic art. Okay.
Yep.
That's so great. Eric Gellin is here. He is my guest from the Mascot Theory. They were just on Max Inc. Radio the other night here on WMDX. Go check out that interview, too, if you want to check out the podcast at civicmedia.us. They play Mineral Point the 24th, 2 shows there. They're coming up to Green Bay and Appleton soon. You can check all of this out. Do you want to give your website?
TheMascotTheory.com.
All the dates are on there. They got Madison at the Atwood Music Hall here October 5th and October 3rd. The actual date the album drops at the Gibson Music Hall in Appleton. Do you have a favorite venue in the state or a couple of them?
Well, I mean, Mineral Point Opera House is my hometown. So that's always a favorite. We did that one last year. Sure, we'll be back in. But really, Gibson Music is such an amazing space up there. It's the folks that curated the Milo Music Festival. And that's just such an amazing thing for the state. And, it's original music. It's all original. and that's what we do. So it's any kind of experience that kind of folks that really put that out there that, hey, this is original stuff and you're going to like it. And, yeah. and people, they've just kind of curated that way with that festival. Feel like you're going into a hometown crowd when you're not even from there because they're already pumped to hear and stuff there.
All right, we're going to try to get one more song in here. Tell us about this final song.
This is called Final Hour, and this was kind of the main linchpin for the entire album. The first one that I wrote, it was a night when my dad was going into surgery and was not expected to come out. So I was kind of dealing with that, with writing some lyrics down, and ironically, he actually did come out of it and another year before he finally passed away. But it was a lot of those kind of moments, and so this was kind of that one.
All right, Con, let's hear it.
So you're taking an unplanned midnight stroll, wandering blind through the unknown, searching for answers only ghosts could ever know. Traveling unpaved gravel road, what you will find there, God only knows. A thief in the darkness, or a light to guide you home. Is this the final hour? Is this the last goodbye? Can I get some sleep tonight while these memories collide? Is this the final hour? Is this the last goodbye? Can you make it back to me when shadows fill your eyes? From the daily grind, and you didn't plan to be cast aside, surrounded by strangers while the symptoms multiplied. I try to decode inconceivable plots, unwinnable games, unreachable docks, the meaning of life in the bottom of an empty cereal box. Final hour, is this the last goodbye? Can I get some sleep tonight while these memories collide? Is this the final hour? Is this the last goodbye? Can you make it back to me when shadows fill?
That was Final Hour from The Mascot Theory. Eric Jellin is here in studio with me. He is their vocalist and lyricist, and this has been so much fun, buddy. I love when you come on the show.
Oh, awesome.
I wish you luck with the new album and all the shows you have coming up to promote it. I love the material, and thank you again for the album. Here you go, folks, right here. Pink Floyd influenced, and you can kind of tell he does all this stuff. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
Thank you.
It. When I come back, Jim Healy will be here, and I'm going to give you the key word to the our multi-state Civic Media Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. That is coming up after the break. Get your apps ready. You'll have the keyword, and you can be part of the contest. We're coming right back. Check out the Mascot Theory. Google them, folks. Great stuff.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
I'm Pete Schwab, this is Nightlight, coming to you live from downtown Madison tonight. Always fun to be doing a show in Madison. Conrad, are you envious?
I am. You know, I could be on the other side of the glass right now, but, you know, there's just nothing on the other side.
Aaron kept the chair warm for you, buddy, if you ever want to make the trip. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to give you all the keyword of our Civic Media Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Check this out. The daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. There's one winner every day. And the grand prize, two club-level indoor seats to Green Bay versus Minnesota. That's football we're talking about. It is a Green Bay home game November 23rd at noon. And you get a gas card to get you to the game. It's like a $1,550 value. Can't beat that. And you get to see some football. And it's the green and gold versus the, what do you say, purple and gold. Right, Connor?
Purple People Eaters.
The Purple People Eaters. There you go. So this hour's keyword, ladies and gentlemen, is night. N-I-G-H-T, not night like nightlight. The actual word night, N-I-G-H-T. So text that in right now on the app, and you are eligible for our daily prize of $200 cash and gold jewelry, and you are automatically entered into the grand prize contest as well. So good luck, everybody. It is my pleasure to welcome a friend of mine back to the show. He's been on the show before. I love talking movies with him. He's a movie buff who does amazing work at the Wisconsin Film Festival, as well as UW Cinematheque. And he is First of all, I want to talk about Cinematheque. This is a great thing. We'll start with that because it is this fantastic program. But joining me here in the studio right now is my pal, Jim Healy. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Pete.
Great to have you back.
Thanks.
These are new microphones, so do whatever you need to do there. Are you comfortable?
You hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. Conrad, can we hear Jim okay?
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Jim Healy, ladies and gentlemen. I'm excited to have you here, Jim. I always love having in-studio guests, but especially when they know so much more about movies than I could ever imagine knowing. So let's jump right in. How are things at Cinema?
Better than ever. We're really enjoying great crowds for the movies. There's been a lot of kind of event feel to our screenings lately. Yeah. Like, this is the one chance to see this, and let's all go. And we had packed houses. We showed Apocalypse Now in the original release version a couple weeks ago, and we gave out the original souvenir booklets that you got when you saw it in 1979.
Yeah.
And
cool.
It was, you know, it was packed, and there was a lot of students there and young people seeing the movie for the first time.
I wanted to go the last time I was in town. You guys were screening a David Lynch film, and Mary Sweeney, his partner and editor and producing partner, was going to be there for a Q&A, and I don't get out of here till 8, and I texted Ben, and he's like, I knew it was going to be full, but I thought, are there any no-shows? He goes, text Jim, and I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. I knew you had your hands full that night.
But those screenings were really crazy. I mean, we showed Mulholland Drive, which Mary produced and edited. She spoke afterwards, but we had a full crowd for a full house that showed up almost an hour and a half before the movie and just made a coil line outside, and they were all there. They wanted to be there for that one.
That's incredible. And mostly I would have just wanted to be there for the Q&A because I've seen Mulholland Drive. I don't know if I talked to you about this, but I did rewatch it about probably 8 or 9 months ago. I still have no idea what's going on at the end of the movie, and I would have loved to have asked her. I'm sure she gets that all the time, but do you know? I mean, have you heard her talk about the end of that film?
Well, she won't talk about it, as nor would David Lynch ever talk about, you know, what it means, or, you know, they'll talk directly about what you're actually seeing. Like, yes, those are the same older people from the beginning of the film who are crawling out from under the door at this point, you know, but that's it. You know, it's just, you know. Talk about what
so
you're seeing.
Great. Well, it's a great program. And for people who haven't been to Cinematheque, I talked a little bit about this at the top of the show. It's free to the public. I mean, I would imagine, with the amount of film buffs you have in Madison, they can fill up pretty quickly. And maybe you have to turn people away sometimes. But it is definitely worth checking out. It's this great theater. I mean, it's a little outdated, but the screen is state of the art. All the equipment you guys have is state of the art, and it's a beautiful place to watch.
Great
a movie.
Sound system,
and
you know, and we frequently show original 35mm prints that look great. That's how we showed Mulholland Drive last summer.
You had a Paper Moon screening recently, and you're showing another film of Peter Bogdanovich's Targets on October 4th. I've seen some of Peter, but let's talk about Targets.
Okay,
what's coming up? Let's start with that. I have not seen it.
So Targets is Bogdanovich's first feature film. You know, he'd done some work editing, and I think Roger Corman gave him an old like Soviet sci-fi film that he dubbed and edited himself.
Oh, really?
So he had projects that he worked, and he worked on The Wild Angels and a number of other films. But Roger Corman gave him the opportunity to direct Targets, his first feature, with the idea that he could use Boris Karloff for a few days.
Yeah, that was crazy.
One of his last movies. And he had to come up with a script himself, and it's a really kind of brilliant movie that cross cuts between the story of an aging horror movie star, Boris Karloff, playing Byron Orlok, so the comparison is there, and a terrifying secondary story about a sniper who is driving around Los Angeles himself to hidden locations and shooting people. It's a frightening impression film that, you know, only unfortunately has gotten more real as the decades have gone by. But the two stories collide at the end at a drive-in. It's been a really, really incredible, scary, intense sequence. Great film.
Jim Healy is here. When we come back, folks, after the news, I'm going to ask Jim, and I need this for myself as well, where you start with Peter Bogdanovich. If people haven't seen a lot of his films, we'll get that from Jim. I'll read some of your texts And it's just a fun night here at Nightlight, and it's great to have you with me. We are coming right back. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight live from Madison on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
CBS News Brief. President Trump and his health department link autism to acetaminophen.
So taking Tylenol is not good. All right, I'll say it. It's not good.
The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists says today's announcement is not backed by the full body of scientific evidence. A week after he commented on the death of Charlie Kirk, Disney announces the Jimmy Kimmel Live show will return to ABC's air tomorrow night. Syracuse University media professor Robert Thompson.
Folks at ABC and Disney were getting a lot of pressure from everybody, from unions to celebrities and these big petitions.
France, during the UN General Assembly meeting, says it supports a two-state solution in the Middle East. CBS News national security contributor Samantha Vinogrand.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio actually warned that Israel itself could engage in a counter-reaction to this momentum behind recognizing a state of Palestine.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Some good news and bad news. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the good news is for a third year in a row, the Brewers headed into the playoffs as divisional champs. The bad news is it'll likely be without starting pitcher Brandon Woodruff, who suffered a lat strain in his upper back.
Obviously, it sucks. This is something that is a side effect of the surgery I had, and it's kind of terrible timing in that sense for, the team. The biggest goal for me was to finish the year healthy.
The crew in San Diego tonight against the Padres. College football, the Badgers now 2-2 after losing to Maryland 27-10 over the weekend. Wisconsin has their bye week, followed by a trip to Ann Arbor to face number 19th ranked Michigan. NFL, the Packers stunned, losing 13-10 to the Browns in Cleveland on a last second field goal.
It's extremely disappointing to be in a position to win the game and to have the script totally flip on you. It's tough to deal with.
As head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're like me, you never need to hear the word y'all ever again. It was a fun novelty as we indulged a Southern culture in a show of unity. Those of you who do use or like the word will be happy to know there's a new holiday film called Deck the Y'alls. Sigh. Talk about shoehorning a word into a title. At least there's a good cast and an award-winning one at that. Variety reports that the film stars Jessica Chastain, Octavia Spencer, and Wanda Sykes. Chastain plays a New York City baker who falls for a Southern gent, now it all makes sense, and heads south to spend Christmas with his family, and it's going great until she meets the overprotective mom played by Spencer, who also happens to be a celebrity chef. Chastain and Spencer were both nominated for Oscars in the Best Supporting Actress category in 2012, with Spencer winning for her role in The Help. Chastain would later win an Oscar of her own in the same category for The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Filming begins next year, y'all. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, otherwise partly cloudy tonight. A low in the upper 50s with patchy fog. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow morning, some sun in the afternoon. A high in the upper 60s. Staying dry through the week as temperatures stay in the 70s. It's 67 right now.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney James Santel as we discuss the Supreme Court's dismantling of all independent agencies. Oh, my goodness. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. So, Con, this question apparently was not as much of a dud as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I'm going to get through all these texts because I want to talk movies. But if I don't, folks, we will read them tomorrow as we always do. There's just too many. What am I supposed to do, Con?
You know, I think we get a diary ourselves and write all the diary entries in that diary.
It's a terrible suggestion. Monica from Mount Horeb, she's in the 608, says, having feelings for people who treated me like crap. Hey, you don't want that. Chris from the 773 says, I had a diary for about a month and a half when I was 12, and unfortunately, there was nothing embarrassing in it. But if I was writing one to date, I would hope no one read that you asked this question tonight in my diary. Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. I could, you know, just ban Chris from future shows, Conrad. Tyler from the 608 says, same old, the monotony of it all. The highlights, I got a dog. He is funny, gets the most ink. Okay, Tyler, that's good. All right, we'll do our best to get to these texts, folks. Thank you for playing along on a question I did not expect to get this amount of mileage from, but we've got Jim Healy here from UW Cinematech and the Wisconsin Film Festival. So, Jim, I wanted to ask you, Peter Bogdanovich, he's just one of those names that, you know, probably in the past 20 years ago, I would nod my head like I knew who Peter Buck, but I knew who he was, but I don't know his work. And I think a lot of people, he's made some great films, but he's not, you don't hear his name like you do Scorsese or Coppola or whatever. Right. He's kind of more of an offbeat name. Where should people start with his films if they wanted to check out more of his work?
Well, if you want to come to the cinema,
there you
start
go.
At the beginning with his very first feature.
Targets, served you a softball there, didn't
about.
I?
Yeah. But, you know, what's interesting about him is he comes out of that same kind of school of filmmakers as Scorsese. You know, the movie brats of the late 60s, early 70s. He's a New York guy. He moved out to L.A. You know, he wrote articles for Esquire. He interviewed people. He really got to know the movie business by just talking to a filmmaker and watching a lot of movies. And then he, you know, right off the bat, was a very talented filmmaker. And his first three or four movies, well, Targets wasn't exactly a box office little movie. Paramount released it, but it showed that he could handle himself. And his next movie was The Last Picture Show that came out 2 years
so
later,
great.
1971. And, you know, got the Oscar, and the movie won a bunch of Oscars for the actors, and was, you know, a huge box office hit. And a black and white movie, after black and white movies had gone out of fashion. That it made money and had legs was really something to Hollywood. So he basically got, you know, the blank check to do whatever he wanted after that. And he did.
And The Last Picture Show, for listeners, it's Jeff Bridges, Timothy Bottoms, and Sybil Shepherd.
Yeah.
Great cast. And you can see them all when they're young, too. It was really good.
Randy Quaid's first movie, too.
Oh, yeah.
His next film was an even bigger smash. It was comedy with Barbara Streisand, right, called What's Up, Doc.
Love that movie.
Huge hit. And then he made Paper Moon, another comedy with Ryan O'Neill, Tatum O'Neill. Big smash at the box office. We showed that film a couple weeks ago, Cinematech. But then he made a bunch of kind of high-profile flops. You know, the general idea about him is that he got a big head and thought he could do anything. And he made a bunch of movies, two with Sybil Shepherd, one film called Nickelodeon, which is about the silent movie days, and they were very expensive and not liked by the critics, and nobody went to see them. And so suddenly he was in movie director.
Directing TV.
No, he eventually did, but he stayed in movies for a while. In fact, I think the first film he made after those three flops was an art house movie called Saint Jack with Ben Gazzara.
Paul Verhoeven. Yeah.
And it is a great movie. It might be my favorite Bogdanovich.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really great. It's about a procurer of women in Singapore during the Vietnam War.
Oh.
And it's just a great character study and a really, really terrific movie. And then he made a bunch of other films. He sunk some of his own money into them. He had a hit movie with Mask.
Yeah.
The 1985 film with Cher, but he fought with the studio upon its release because he wanted the Bruce Springsteen songs on the soundtrack. They finally, if you see the movie now, you can see his director's cut with the songs and a couple of scenes that he wanted in the film. But the studio wanted to take that stuff out because it was cheaper. They replaced it with Bob Seger's
songs. Bob Seger, which is no slouch himself. In fact, his music, I thought, what I remember, worked really well in that.
I don't remember having that much of a problem with it. I've only seen that version once. I've seen the director's cut, but the kid, the real Rocky Dennis that Eric Stoltz plays in the movie, he listened to Bruce Springsteen. So that was a big bone of contention with Bogdanovich. He threatened to he tried to have the movie, the release halted, and Universal Pictures didn't like that. And so even though the movie was a hit and very well directed film, very well regarded film, you know, he was right back in movie jail again.
Wow.
And he kept directing. He would do theatrical films, Jobs for Hire. He did a lot of TV movies. Later on, he's best known as Dr. Melfi's shrink on The Sopranos. He started acting quite a bit too. Elliot.
Lorraine Bracco.
Yeah, Lorraine Bracco.
See him and talk about Tony Soprano to him. Yeah.
Elliot Kupferberg. Yeah, for Sopranos. That's Peter Bogdanovich.
Oh, that's great. Okay, well, I would start with, I mean, for me, just based on what I've seen, I forgot he did What's Up, Doc. It was a funny 70s
really funny
screwball
movie.
Comedy. The guy with the golf clubs who keeps throwing them out because it's too hard to think
of. Oh, it's great.
It's a really fun movie, but that is great stuff. Our keyword, folks, tonight for our Civic Media Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, you have to enter it on the app, is Night, N-I-G-H-T, N-I-G-H-T, Night. So get that in, and you are eligible to win $200 and gold jewelry, and it also automatically makes you eligible for the grand prize. Jim Healy is here from UW Cinematheque and the Wisconsin Film Festival. I've had him on the show before. Love talking movies with Jim. So, all right, so Robert Redford passed away probably a week ago today or maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
What is his legacy? I mean, he's a Hollywood – he's a titan, a giant, all those things you want to say. Where do you rank him as an actor? Because I thought he was a really good actor. I don't think I'd put him in the top of all time in terms of just acting. Like, he was fine. He was good.
Well, he was my first idea of a movie star. I think before I ever even saw one of his films, it must have been I saw The Sting on TV, like in the late 70s. But even before that, I knew him as this. He was the biggest movie star. When you your image of a movie star.
No question, he was a huge movie star. Yeah.
I mean, you know, and so when I started seeing his movies, you know, I understood it because he's a very good actor. He's very relaxed. I mean, that's really kind of the key thing. You know, in terms of range, like, you didn't exactly see him playing the kind of, he rarely did the occasional villain or the heel.
Right.
And then the times he did, it kind of backfired on him a little bit. But you know, he was just somebody you really liked to see. And he didn't do a lot of comedy. I think he had a kind of serious, but when he did do things in the comedic range, I think he was at his best. I mean, even like The Sting and Butch Cassidy are definitely, you know, pitched at that kind of level. And then there's the one film I'm always stumping for, which is, I probably hold in the Redford pantheon, is The Hot Rod.
One of the
best films of the 70s, with a script by William Goldman, adapting a novel by Donald Westlake. And Goldman wrote Butch Cassidy and Great Waldo Pepper and a bunch of Redford films. He wrote All the President's Men. He wrote the script for that. Anyway, it's a really, really funny heist comedy about some inept jewel thieves who are trying to steal the same diamond over and over again. It keeps getting taken away from them and put into some other precarious situation. But it's got George Segal and Ron Liebman and Jiro Mostel is in it.
Nice.
It's just a great New York comedy. But, you know, like last time I looked, it wasn't on streaming anywhere. Like, you couldn't rent it on Amazon.
Really?
You can find a Blu-ray out there that copy for $100 or something. But Redford is really funny. His timing is great. He has great double takes in it, and you know, just so relaxed, and so much fun to watch. And you know, and then the other movies I'd put in the pantheon would be, you know, All the President's Men and Three Days of the Condor. They're just
love them.
Great. But there's another like half dozen movies, you know, that great period between, you know, say like 69 and 79. There's, you know, probably like a 12, 13 movies, and you know, there's another six that are just The Sting and The Way We Were, and Electric Horseman is a lot of fun.
Oh, Electric Horseman's great, yeah.
You know, the other thing, there were these two huge periods where he was at his prime where he didn't work at all. Like, there's like almost 4 years between All the President's Men and Electric Horseman, and the only movie he did in between was a kind of an extended cameo in Bridge Too Far. And then he did Brubaker in 1980 and didn't do another movie for another 4 years. He didn't until The Natural. As an actor, he started directing films at that time, but he didn't even, I think Ordinary People came out in 1980 and The Natural came out like almost 4 years later. There, you know, these huge gaps.
Yeah.
You know, he was doing a lot of, charity work, but he was doing, you know,
environmental activism,
and establishing the Sundance Institute, and which is his other great legacy.
Right.
You asked about his legacy. You know, the creation of this not-for-profit film festival about championing, you know, artists working outside of the studio system, which he didn't do very often, but that he, you know, built this festival where all kinds of filmmakers could show their work, from experimental avant-garde shorts to six-hour-long documentaries to independent features that focus on an area of a subject that has, you know, been widely underrepresented in film.
Yeah. Was that the first, like, I was talking about this last week. I feel like there are probably easily 15 film festivals just in Wisconsin. Do the fact that, like, there are so many film festivals, is that due in part to Sundance and the popularity it gained?
I think so. I think it also has to do with kind of where the industry went, right? There was, you know, there's much more of a focus now on, you know, on the industry that is in charge of making big budget movies for wide release. There's less movies being made. The budgets are going up, less choices to see. And I think, film festivals are kind of filling the gap of, you know, and showing the independently made stuff that the studios aren't interested in,
right,
because it doesn't make $100 million on the.
It's funny. You talked about The Sting. That's probably my favorite Robert Redford movie. It's probably in my top five of all time. One of those films that everything works, the script, the sets. I love that. I typically always prefer a film that was on location, but I love the backlot stuff that they shot with The Sting. It's just a great world. And he was nominated. That's his only nomination
Oscar
for acting.
Yeah.
And I'm not, that didn't help form my opinion. I do really like Robert Redford as an actor, but that did surprise me.
Yeah, and I think even his performance in The Way We Were, which is the same year, is shows a lot more range. But that's the thing he could do perfectly. That kind of relaxed, comic acting,
very
playing off of Paul Newman so beautifully. My deep dark secret that I'd put in my diary is I'm not a big Butch Cassidy fan. I like him a lot in the film, and I like Newman, but the movie just always seems kind of tonally uneven and. Like, you know, and his ideas were borrowed from other Westerns from the time.
I would agree with that. And I thought it was strange. Maybe we can pick up on this after the break, that all of a sudden raindrops keep falling on my head out of nowhere. I'm like, what? Because I rewatched that like a year or two ago. And I'm like, this is so strange. Like, Jim Healy is here, folks. He's going to stick around and help me wrap things up here at Nightlight. We are coming right back after this very short break talking Robert Redford. And I'm going to ask Jim what he can recommend, what he's seen lately, too. That's all next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Never had.
You need parts? O'Reilly has parts. Get one free set of brake pads when you buy two brake rotors. Upgrade to Brake Best Select pads for just $10. Or upgrade to Brake Best Select Pro or Import Direct pads for just $20. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanopi, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free civic media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. It's been a fun show. Conrad, have you had fun tonight?
I definitely have.
That's all that I care about. Our question of the night is, what was something, if you kept a diary, what in your diary would you be embarrassed if people read? John Murray from 608 says it would be packed with lies. I can't confess every day. And the rest is like 243 vacay pics on Facebook. Silently reflect on the day to the ceiling in bed. Good enough. All right, John. Thanks for not getting too personal. Let's see if we can squeeze one more in here. Steve from Florida says, speaking of diaries, fun fact, one of Conrad's favorite novel series was Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
That is true.
Your dad just outed you on national radio. It's statewide okay. Radio, national stream.
It's okay. It was a great series.
Yeah, it was. It was good. And then finally, we'll get the rest of your texts, folks. I know we're behind tonight on texts. We'll read them tomorrow night as well. Jack from Merrimack in the 414 says, if a single actor could carry a full-length film, it was Redford. See All Is Lost. If you haven't seen it, you need to put it on your list. Jack from Merrimack. Well, that's a great text for my guest, Jim Healy, who is here and knows a lot about movies in general, but certainly Robert Redford. I have not seen that.
All Is Lost is very good. Maybe okay. That's probably his most important work as an actor after the 70s.
Okay. And then The Hot Rock.
You got to see The Hot Rock.
I can't believe I haven't seen it. Sometimes I say I haven't seen a film, and then I put it in. I'm like, I have seen this when I was younger, and I just didn't know what it was. So what have you seen recently, Jim, at the theater?
I went to see, I've been to see a bunch of things. I'll speak well of two movies. I really liked The Long Walk, and I loved Weapon. I thought it was really
good. Yeah.
Maybe the best new movie, studio American.
It was good. Creepy.
Yeah, I really, it's creepy and really compelling. And Zach Cregger's the writer director. He really knows how to make a story interesting. It's not it's not exactly linear. He gives you little pieces.
Yeah,
and it's really well done. I like those two a lot. I also saw at the Toronto Film Festival. Saw a new Brazilian movie coming up, directed by Kleberman. Don't you? It's called The Secret Agent, set in Brazil during the 1970s, during kind of fascist era, kind of the same era as the film was set in last year. But this is a really exciting movie made by a really passionate cinephile director. It's about a fugitive who finds kind of community among other fugitives while also trying to save his hide from hitmen that are after him, and spends a lot of his time hiding out in a movie theater where his father and projectionist showing The Omen, 1977.
Oh, very cool.
And Jaws figures into the film, and it's a real kind of cinephiles, like movie junkie.
That's great. Did you see Barbarian? Zach Cregger's?
I love Barbarian.
I did too.
Yeah, I liked it very much, and I was excited about Weapons, and that was what I think that was what was so great about it, is that it delivered on Barbarian.
Oh, that's interesting, because I thought if I had to rate the two, know I'm in the minority. I think I like Barbarian better just because it wasn't totally linear, but it was like it had more of an ending. Like the Weapons was kind of, I was slightly, if I'm nitpicking.
Yeah.
I love that all the kids left the house in the middle of the night, that crazy run.
Yeah.
It was so creepy.
I found the climax of The Weapons really gratifying.
With the woman and the kids? Yeah, that was
very,
pretty,
very satisfying. I just felt the movie had more kind of an, just felt more like a movie of the moment that was speaking to, the culture in general and what's going on in the world right now. You know, Barbarian's wonderful. I loved every second. And I would say Barbarian, maybe the story surprised me more than Weapons, but Weapons.
I don't even know what, I don't even think I was doing this show when I saw Barbarian, and I've watched more horror since I've been doing this show, but Barbarian, it was so, the idea that there's this Airbnb and then this tunnel in a room they don't know about that goes down. And I mean, they're both really creepy, both really good movies. The Long Walk is Stephen King's first novel,
I guess, or maybe it's, I don't know how long it is, maybe it's like a novella, not too long, but he wrote it at 19 and it didn't get published until after he was established.
My son Joe, who saw that film, and he thought it was maybe the best film, he liked it, maybe the better than anything he's seen.
It's very good, well acted, and spare and unsettling.
Yeah,
I mean, really, it's just guys walking, that's really the home, walking and talking. Very cinematic. Compelling.
There you go, folks. That's two movie recommendations from the great Jim Healy, a guy who watches more movie than any of us put together. What's your count at so far?
Well, I'm on par. I'm usually, I will watch close to 700 features every year, but the numbers have changed. They used to be, these were new movies that I was seeing.
Right.
Now it's almost half and half with rewatching. I'm doing because I've got this, Blu-ray collection that, sat unsealed on my shelves for years. And during COVID, I started getting into it. And now I really enjoy watching, 3 Days of the Condor again, the Hot Rod.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, check out the Wisconsin Film Festival. It is such a blast. They do a great job programming it. They offer outstanding films. It's not till April, but start marking your calendars. That's just a movie lover's heaven. And then check out UW Cinematheque, too. Jim Healy, always a blast, sir. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Pete.
You got it. Tomorrow night on the show, we've got Dr. Kristen Lierley. You might know Dr. Kristen Lierley's name from the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, which she hosts here on the Civic Media Radio Network and more specifically WGBW. And then Logan Rogge will be here from Travel Wisconsin talking about fun fall events throughout our state. That's tomorrow night. I'll be back on the home court in Green Bay. My thanks to Eric Jellin for being here. Jim Healy, thank you to all your texts and calls tonight, folks. We will finish up with the texts tomorrow and be back with more contest fun in the Civic Media Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, which is happening through October 3rd. Every night you have a chance to win. We will be back tomorrow night. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwab saying good night, Wisconsin. Someone's living for their love. Someone's living for their love. And I love
this is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Trump, with Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. behind him, says the drug acetaminophen can be associated with an increased risk of autism. His message to pregnant women?
For some reason, with this, they keep taking it. Don't take Tylenol.
CBS News chief medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook points out
it can be dangerous for a pregnant woman to have fever and pain. Not only dangerous for her, but dangerous for the developing fetus. And that's why Tylenol, acetaminophen, has been used for decades. In terms of alternatives during pregnancy, there really is no good alternative for pain and fever, because things like aspirin and non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen, they can have very serious side effects. And that's why the recommendation has been from societies, and also you heard it today, to use the smallest possible dose for the smallest number of days.